From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gwyneth Chi, Shawa, Toxknusum, Salamat. Thank you for joining the conversation. You may also join us via our live stream on YouTube at ktoo.org/JPMLive or on KTOO's Instagram and Facebook pages. Conversations today, Wednesday, October 22nd, 2025. Cancer Connection is having its annual Community Health Forum this Saturday, October 25th. The topic, the state of the art of oncology care with Dr. Prakash Vishnu. It's back after a 9-year hiatus, the Zombie Walk. Perfect timing to get you in the mood for Halloween. We talk with KXLL's Kelly Arcardi and crew about this beloved event making its return this Saturday night. And we speak with both the UAF Cooperative Extension and the Juno Public Libraries. Today they are here because they have combined their Wonder Twin powers to bring you a new monthly collaboration with the first class happening tomorrow, Thursday, October 23rd. That's all coming up on Juno Afternoon, live, local, and community-supported here on KTO Juno and KAUK Juno Hawk Bay.
Hansen Gress, ka eat with the shu yi, we ka shuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta khana khaya ha an kakh gnish chish.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kushtuk U Bill Fawcett. The word this week is siu.
Siu.
That means rain. And here's a sentence.
Siu. Kunaktak was seitan.
It's really raining. Let's hear it again.
Siu.
Rain. Gunnish Chish to Hune Lance Twitchell, Goldbelt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kushtuk o Ish Bill Fawcett was Slukach Adi and the child of a southern Toshone man who passed away before Bill was born. His mother later married Tsihua Bill Fawcett, who helped raise Bill. He lived on Occoquan Ani and enjoyed working with advanced language learners, helping them answer difficult questions about the language.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
Album. They were on the show yesterday. We had a special Juno Afternoon. If you missed that, the post will be available later today. You can listen to the whole show, or you can go to the YouTube archives on KTOO's YouTube page and catch the band. They played 3 songs yesterday. You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm Boston Christopher. You can also join us us on our live stream on KTO's YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook pages. This Saturday, October 25th, Cancer Connection is holding its Community Health Forum from 11 to 1 p.m. It's no charge and open to the public. The topic is the state of the art of oncology care and will be presented by Dr. Prakash Vishnu. Dr. Vishnu works at Bartlett Medical Oncology Center here in Juneau, as well as the Fred Hutch Oncology Center in New Mexico, which is where he is.
University of Washington.
Oh, University of Washington?
Yes.
I'm sorry. When I looked it up, it said we also had one in New Mexico. That's so interesting.
Well, he's working out of UW now.
He's working out of UW now. Okay. Well, that's good to know. And that's where he is right now, and he's not available to join us today, which is unfortunate. But we do have two awesome people who are on the board at Cancer Connection. Ruth Johnson is here, as well as Molly McCormick. Ruth, Gunathchi, Shwasiyati, how are you today?
I'm great. Thanks.
Excellent. And Molly, welcome back. Good to see you again.
Good to see you.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you both for being here today. So let's start with you, Ruth. Tell us a little bit about the Community Health Forum and its goals from the Cancer Connection perspective.
This is our one big community education event that we host every year. We've been doing it, you know, for about 25 years. Started out as a men's and women's health forum, and just for efficiency and economy, they were combined many years ago. And yeah, this is our one chance to talk to the community about what's going on in cancer-related healthcare news. And this year, we thought it was time, after many years of having Paul Widener as our visiting oncologist, to introduce the new guy, Dr. Vishnu. We've just had such rave reviews from the docs, from the oncology team here, his patients, and I myself went through a cancer diagnosis this year and was looking at immunotherapy and thought, oh, I doubt I can do that in Juneau, and found out, oh, you can.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, here I am on Cancer Connection, and I'm not even sure what all we can do here. It's time to have a community conversation about what we can do right here with our new oncologist.
So that's interesting, because I know we've had some conversations in the past that you've been on the board for a number of years at Cancer Connection, but you had joined the board because you had somebody that you knew who had cancer. You yourself hadn't had that,
right.
But you've
right.
now had a cancer diagnosis this year?
Yes.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah. So did all the work that you've done with Cancer Connection help you over the years?
Well, yeah, it helped me know I needed to talk to friends.
know where the resources are, right?
Yeah.
So the community forum is the annual event, but I do want to make sure that we do mention that you also have the recurring events that the Cancer Connection mm-hmm. does, which is the Cancer Survivors Support Group, which meets the third Tuesday of each month at 6:30. And then also... And that's the one recurring. Is that the main support group that meets, and is there others that also meet?
Yeah, and Molly's kind of our main person that keeps that support group going. You want to talk a little bit about it?
Yeah, tell me a little bit about the support group.
So we meet every Thursday at 6:30, Tuesday of the month, every third Tuesday of the month at 6:30 at the Radiation Center. And so we meet in person, and some people join us online, and everybody, we support each other and talk about our experiences. And
And that is the survivors group, right? Is that what that is? Yeah,
right. Okay. And care providers have come. Mm-hmm. Care providers have come, and you can come at any stage of your cancer treatment. Like, I'm 5 years out, and mm-hmm. I feel it's still helpful for me to feel supported.
And, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and you have, I know I always like to mention this too, Ruth, and when you are on, because the Cancer Connection does some wonderful things for those who might have a diagnosis, and you have the travel fund that you do to help people get down to Seattle. But one of the cool things about that is that more and more things are starting to be able to happen here, right? Which is where we're getting into this talk on Saturday for the community forum. So tell me exactly what is going to be happening Saturday in terms of the events and everything. I'll bring up the flyer for those who are on the stream as well, and I'll also link to it on the webpage for this episode. But tell me a little bit about Saturday.
So the doors will open at 11, and there'll be some exhibitors in the lobby covering things from nutrition and all the usual information sources that we have to keep you entertained while you wait for the doors to open. The talk, we're going to start a little earlier this year at 11:30 is when lunch will be served, catered by the Breeze Inn. Pretty amazing fall harvest sort of menu. It'll be a very colorful plate. And we're going to recognize a few people before the keynote speaker. Each year we recognize people who've made significant contributions to the cancer community. So, our survivor of the year this year is Larry Olson. We have a corporate sponsor who's very special. We're actually flying her up from Seattle. Adriana has donated her services to deep clean our apartment between tenants in Seattle for many years. And so she's our corporate sponsor this year, and she's delighted to be coming up for that and get recognized, sort of a invisible volunteer.
That's awesome, because that is like
you have
an apartment down there in Seattle that people are able to go and stay in. Is that free of charge when you do that? Is that to
no,
stay in that
well,
hotel,
we have a suggested hotel? Donation for
okay,
people
donation,
to stay there.
To stay there, yeah. But it's is it close to the hospitals and
Very
stuff?
Close. Yeah, it's like a couple blocks from Virginia Mason and Swedish.
Yeah, okay, great. Yeah, that's so. But that's a really cool thing that somebody does that for you.
I mean, I think it was a minimum $200 charge between tenants. And when she found out what we were doing with the apartment, she donated her time.
Oh, that's excellent. Well, congratulations to her.
And then the Petersburg Beat the Odds group has been donating significantly to Cancer Connection for a while, because we are Southeast-wide and help people from other communities. And Petersburg, as part of their fundraising, made a significant donation to Cancer Connection this year. So we're recognizing them as Philanthropist of the Year Cancer Connection.
Okay, that's great. That's great. And Molly, tell me a little bit about how you got involved originally with Cancer Connection.
I was diagnosed with cancer about 5.5 years ago.
Okay.
And I joined group meetings, survivor meetings, once a month, and Cancer Connection really helped me out with travel and counseling services and the monthly group. So I'm giving back by being on the board.
Yeah, so you joined the board and are, doing all the wonderful things that Cancer Connection does. That's so cool.
Yep.
And then tell me a little bit about Dr. Vishnu and what he's going to be talking about.
Well, he's really talking about, the state of the art of cancer care now. He'll be showing us what, not just in Juneau, but, we'll talk some about what they can do right here at Bartlett Oncology, but where, like we were talking before the show started, where AI is going with helping with diagnostics and things like that.
Yeah.
And, I think that his talk, I just previewed his slides briefly, is a very hopeful presentation on how the new treatment and care available is not only more successful in disease arrest and cure or increasing lifespan, but really looking at the whole person, and treating the... Yeah, realizing your heart and mind are attached to that body they're treating.
It was interesting. Before we knew that Dr. Vishnu couldn't be here today, he's got some, surgeries or whatever he's doing. I was really curious about that because when he said the title is the state of the art of oncology, obviously there's going to be some cool things in there, and AI being one of them. And AI kind of gets everybody's a little, unsure about AI in different ways, but there's different kinds of AI. And I feel like in this particular instance, if he's going to speak to some of that on Saturday, it'd be really interesting for people to learn a little bit about the positive parts of what AI can do in terms of helping the machinery or the precision medicine or whatever it is that the machines are using or how they're diagnosing things and getting into the details of it. So it sounds like it's going to be a fascinating talk.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said lunch is provided. And let's remind folks, too, it's free. There's no charge for this. Do you have to sign up? Do you want people to register so you know how many people are coming? You just show up.
Just show up. There will be a donation bucket in the center of all of the tables, and we do encourage people to help offset the cost of the lunch.
Mm-hmm.
We do have some sponsors this year also helping offset. I should give a shout-out to...
Sure.
Southeast Radiation Oncology Center, Juneau Auto Mall, Bartlett Regional Hospital, the State of Alaska, Aurora Integrated Oncology Foundation, Alaska Imaging and Alaska Technical Solutions will be providing live streaming over Facebook for those who aren't able to make it to Centennial Hall for the event. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's great. That's wonderful. And of course, you can find out more information about everything that Cancer Connection does at their website, cancerconnectionak.org. And I'm sure there's also Facebook groups and all those different things that y'all have. Right, Molly? Do you have a Facebook group? Yeah, no. Is there no Facebook group?
Well, Cancer Connection has a Facebook page.
A page, okay. And you keep that updated. But the best place, I know there's an events tab and it shows everything that you got going on and all that kind of stuff. That's fantastic. And then what's the next thing that happens after the health forum? Is there something else coming up? I know there was the Beat the Odds fundraiser that was earlier this summer. Is there anything coming up in the fall that we want to know about?
No, we don't have another event until National Cancer Survivors Day early next summer.
Early next summer. Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll definitely see you back for that.
Wait a minute. Oh. We do have one more thing coming up, and I don't have the date. In March, we're going to be doing a training. We're very fortunate to have a group that has put together a training called Let's Talk for us to help train survivor cancers to be cancer buddies.
Oh,
it's a really excellent communication course on anybody who has been through cancer and would like to know how to help support another cancer survivor on one-to-one, because we do have the one-to-one matching besides the support group.
Right.
And we haven't done a training for a long time, so we'll have in-person training in March, early March, I believe.
March 28th.
March 28th.
Yep. Well, come back and tell me about that next year. That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
But you want to head out to the Community Health Forum. It's this Saturday, October 25th from 11 to 1 p.m. Lunch is served at 11 o'clock, or no, 11:30. The doors open at 11. And then the topic is with Dr. Prakash Vishnu, the state of the art of oncology care. It sounds like it's going to be an excellent program. Molly, Ruth, thank you so much, Gunatish, for coming in and telling us about it.
Thank you.
This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
Can floss string along a healthier future? This is Sanford Singlo with the lowdown on science. Needles are scary, but germs are scarier. What if staying healthy meant only a little dental TLC? Enter Rohan Ingrol and team at Texas Tech University. Instead of needles, they used floss to deliver vaccines. How? They coated floss with inactive flu viruses and flossed the teeth of mice. So tiny. This activated their immune systems, leading to a 100% survival rate from the flu. They also showed that flossing can deliver a coating into human gums. If dental floss could deliver vaccines, vaccination may become easier and more accessible for everyone. Looks like we're crowning a new era in vaccines. Ooh, minty fresh.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com.
Us making out on your bed, trusting what some birds say that are never enough. Loving is way too hard. Loving is way too hard. Time I fall in love, I let it slip through the cracks. Crash and burn, mockingbird, crash and burn, mockingbird. Every time I fall in love, I like to ruin it. Crash and burn, mockingbird, crash. old-fashioned bird, mockingbird. Doing things I can't undo. This time, what can I say? I'm not used to being loved from afar. There must be something wrong. Why would you hold out for me? So I freak out.
This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. That's a little more Rain Dogs with their song Mockingbird. They're recording their album now. It'll be out early this next year. They were on the show yesterday on a special Tuesday Juno Afternoon. And this Friday, they will be on with DJ Kelly at 4:30 over on our sister station, KXLL, who I have in the house with me right now. I have DJ Kelly here.
Hello.
Hello, Gwyneth Cheese for being here, KXLL's community engagement producer. And we also have KXLL volunteer Aaron Youngstrom. Gwyneth Cheese for being here, Aaron.
Gwyneth Cheese.
Whose show is on Thursday mornings at the wonderful hour of 6 a.m.
Yes.
6 to 8 a.m. is Aaron's morning show. She'll wake you up with some hot tunes and other stuff. So why did you choose 6 a.m., Aaron?
Oh, very funny. So growing up in Wisconsin, we would listen to the radio on the way to swim practice or to school. And I remember being so young thinking, like, that is the coolest job in the world, picking out music as you're on your way to swim practice specifically and playing, I don't know, Britney and being in control of what everyone's listening to. And so I've always kind of had a dream of being a really early morning. I would do like 4 a.m. if I could, but I think 6 a.m. is a little bit more approachable. And it's so fun to wake up Juno and play the tunes, pop or pop rock, really anything. We don't tie ourselves down to a genre.
Cool.
Yeah.
What's your favorite song?
Wow.
I just went to the harsh question.
Hard-hitting question.
Right here on Juno Afternoon.
I'm gonna bring the scope out a little bit more and say, what is your favorite album?
Okay.
And within the last 2 years, Brat, Charlie XCX is my favorite album. And a lot of people might be rolling their eyes. Aaron, that's not very alternative of you. I would argue against it. It is a beautiful piece of art, the whole album. Every single song has a lot of heart, and it specifically captures a very important time in Charlie's life, early 30s. It's a beautiful, it's very deep. It's about grief and going after whatever you want to in your life.
I love it. Well, you can catch Aaron every Thursday from 6 to 8 a.m. over there on KXLL. And DJ Kelly is on the air Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from 4 to 5, 4 to 6,
yes.
Somewhere in there?
4 to
okay.
5, yeah.
4 to 5. And you can catch her doing that work. And the thing that's come up is this awesome thing that has been, I guess we could say, laying dead for 9 years.
Truly.
And now it is back. It's the Zombie Walk. It's back after 9 years. This beloved event returns this Saturday, October 25th at 7 p.m. It's going to start down at Overstreet Park, otherwise known as the Whale Statue, and carry on all the way up to the Alaskan Hotel and Bar. And it's going to be so fun. Costumes are encouraged, all that. We're going to find out everything about it right now. But so let's, Kelly, how did this idea to bring the Zombie Walk back from the dead happen?
Well, I actually hadn't even heard about it because I think it was happening before I lived in Juneau.
Mm-hmm.
So it was one of our volunteers, our KXL volunteers, Jesse, who's been around KTOO in and out for, I think, over a decade. And she's the one that mentioned it to me as like an idea of something fun to do this fall. And, you know, my job title is community engagement, so I figured I would try to engage with the community.
Absolutely. And you've been now at KXLL for how many months now?
Maybe like six.
Six months. It was like
March.
Late spring, right?
Yeah,
late spring you started.
Folk Fest
yeah. Time. Okay, awesome. And these are the kind of events that you want to be doing, yeah?
Yeah. I really want to, I mean, ideally I like to tie music in more, like even having shows supported by KXLL, which we'll be coming up with some other ones at the Crystal soon. But this is the first step to being able to do more throughout town.
Awesome. Yeah. That's so cool. And I love that there's more and more happening in that zone. So what did you learn in uncovering the zombie walk, Kelly, about it? What is it? What's it going to be? What should people do?
Yeah, so there's kind of zombie walks all around different cities, kind of around Halloween. And so sometimes it's like a zombie pub crawl or something. That's not what this one is. But people just dress up like zombies. You can dress as like a character of a zombie or just look like a dead human. That works too. And then we're going to take a group photo at the whale statue because we have some from years past. So I think that'll be fun to have that.
7:30 for the group photo.
Yes, yeah. 7:30 is for that. And then right after that, we are walking to the Alaskan Hotel and Bar for the Haunted Hoedown. So
the Haunted Hoedown.
Yes, it's all so spooky.
And okay. There's going to be a costume contest, too, okay. During the Hoedown.
Okay, we should also get the ages thing out of the way. Yes. Like certain parts of it are under 21, other parts are not. Tell me about that.
Yes, exactly. So the walk is all ages, but the concert at the Alaskan Hotel and Bar is 21 plus.
Okay.
So, yes. Also, we did get some limited edition T-shirts from Aurora Project. That have our Zombie Walk logo on them. So,
is it this logo that I'm showing?
Yes.
I think so, yeah.
Which is the logo that was used many a moon ago, almost 8 or 9 years. So that's also back from the dead.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Back from the dead. Yeah. I love it. The theme is so right on the money, just in terms of, you know, also with Halloween around the corner. Was it always done around this time?
I think so. And I think they used to start at a cemetery before. But we're doing the whale this time because there's, like, better crossing. It's a little bit safer.
Yeah, because then you can just walk up the one side of the street. You don't have to. Yeah, but are you going to encourage, like, zombie walks and things like that?
Yeah.
Do people have to walk with one leg all messed up and stuff?
It's not required, but it's encouraged, I would say. Yeah.
Costumes definitely, right?
Costumes definitely. Limp optional.
Okay. And what can we expect at the Hoedown?
Yes. Well, Jessica Muse is opening starting at 8 p.m. So, and she's going to be on KXLL today with us at 4 also.
Okay.
So she is opening for that show at the Alaskan. And then around 9 or so when she wraps up, that's going to be the announcement for the costume contest.
Mm-hmm.
And then Meriden and the Prime Cuts go on after, which is a local fave. And they're going to be on my show later this week, too, if you're curious.
On Friday, yeah.
And we have some really exciting prizes, too, as a part of the costume contest. We have art from local Laura Miko. Print is going to be available. Some Alaska Robotics packagely created. And then one of our big prizes is from Coastal Helicopters. We have a tour for two. So come out. Get a little competitive. Really show up with that zombie outfit. We encourage it.
Yeah.
So, and those prizes are for the people who are doing the costume contest.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So really got to really put some effort into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. I see. And now, what is your go-to going to be, Erin, in terms of your zombie look? What are you thinking?
I'm going to be a dead cat.
A dead cat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I love that. That's going to be fun.
What
about you, DJ? In memoriam.
R.I.P. Tappy.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Was it your cat?
Got a cat too to show
it
off.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I see. Okay. That's going to be so fun. And a little creepy. What about you, DJ Kelly? What's your go-to going to be?
Not that. maybe I might do like I feel like a dead rock star or something could be fun. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I haven't really, I've been thinking about all the logistics, but I forgot about the like costume, which is crazy.
You've been busy like
making
it happen.
There's a lot of dead rock stars to choose from. So,
yeah.
Well, it's kind of like zombie rock for the zombie walk, you know? That's kind of, you know,
man.
I mean, yeah, trademark
that. You're going to do marketing with us next year.
I think that's a good one. That's so cool. This is going to be a lot of fun. And so when should people begin to show up on Saturday?
Yeah, so people can start to show up around 7. We may have some like zombie music playing, like a playlist. There will be shirts there, some candy. And it's just kind of like a buffering gathering time for people to be ready to take a group photo at 7:30 and then start walking. So anytime between 7 and 7:30.
Okay, great. And Aaron, I know that you've been, in addition to your show that you do on KXLL Thursdays from 6 to 8 a.m., you are also helping out in volunteering on social media and things like that, right?
I am, yes. I'm helping Kelly out with the Instagram.
Yeah, and you all have been posting some photos.
I've seen
a few from past zombie walks, right? So people could get inspiration. That was what I'm trying to get at here.
Yeah,
they can look on the Instagram. Mm-hmm. And it's not the KTO Instagram. KXL has its own Instagram. What is that?
Yes, that one is at kxll.juno, spelled out.
Okay, kxll.juno. And you can see pictures of past zombie walks. You can also keep up to date on what's going to be many more events coming down the pike for KXLL. And all that good stuff. And so, yeah, you're helping out with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. it's been fun to work with Kelly and highlight all the really great work that's happening here at KTOO and KXLL, because we have a lot of great artists that come onto our station.
Now, Kelly, we're here talking about Zombie Walk, but I just figure it might be a pitch. Are there other spots available if people want to volunteer for KXLL?
Yes, absolutely, actually. If you are interested, you can go on the KTOO website, ktoo.org. I think you just search volunteer in the search line. I'm not quite sure, actually.
Probably the contact page.
Contact page,
And you can send an email saying that you want to volunteer. I think that's how you do that.
And you can DM us, too, on any of the social medias. We also have a Facebook page, so we check those messages. But you can DJ your own radio show. We have a lot of slots available. You could help with social media, content creation, music curation, things like that.
Yeah,
it's really fun.
Awesome.
That's how I started.
That's so cool. And KXLL is available online as well to stream as well as listen to on the call letters 100.7 or 101.7. You can find those on your radio dial, as they say. And it's the Zombie Walk, which is this Saturday, October 25th. It starts at 7 p.m. You're going to meet at the Whale Statue. You're going to zombie walk your way down in costume, down to the Alaskan, and then there's going to be a hoedown. Did you call it a Halloween hoedown?
Haunted hoedown.
Haunted hoedown.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be musicians there, including Jessica Muse, which is going to be on your show in about 30 minutes.
Yes.
on KXLL.
And
there
she was on American Idol, too.
She was. I think season 13, she took fourth place.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Fun fact.
That is a fun fact, which you'll hear more about today at 4 p.m. on KXLL.
Yeah.
DJ Kelly, Aaron, thank you so much for coming in. It's the Zombie Walk. It's this Saturday. You can follow them on their socials, kxl.juno on Instagram, and also on you can find KXL on Facebook, see some inspiration from past years, and you can get inspired for this Saturday and get yourself ready for Halloween.
Yes.
I really appreciate you both coming in today. Thank you so much. Gonna cheese. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. Last year, flooding from Hurricane Helene damaged or destroyed tens of thousands of homes in the Southeast. Tropical Cyclone Beryl brought devastating river floods to Vermont and New York. And this year, flash floods have damaged homes in Kentucky, Texas, Pennsylvania, New Mexico, and Illinois.
Floods are the most common, costly natural disasters in the United States, yet flood insurance remains one of the most underutilized forms of protection.
That's Loretta Werders of the Insurance Information Institute. She says many people lack coverage because they think flood insurance is included as part of their standard homeowner's insurance. But in reality, it must be purchased separately. Others assume they're safe from floods because they live inland, or because their mortgage lender does not require them to buy flood insurance. But FEMA reports that about 40% of national flood insurance program claims come from outside officially designated high-risk flood zones.
We keep telling people flooding can happen anywhere, even on a mountaintop.
So Werders hopes people will consider getting flood insurance no matter where they live.
It is probably the largest insurance gap in the U.S., and we just want to educate people about the need to have that coverage.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTO, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. There's a new monthly collaboration happening in Juno between the UAF Cooperative Extension, which is, yes, University of Alaska Fairbanks, but the UAF Cooperative Extension is based here in Juno. We always have to just mention that. And the Juno Public Libraries. It begins tomorrow with selling homemade foods at the Valley Library, October 23rd, 5:30 to 7:30. And I'm joined to talk more about this, as I described in the intro today, the Wonder Twin Powers getting activated between these two organizations. I've got Sarah Lewis from the UAF Cooperative Extension. Gunathchish, Sarah.
Gunathchish.
Yeah, how are you today?
I'm doing great. So glad to be here.
Excellent. And Elizabeth Peisel Davis, outreach library worker.
Yeah.
What is that job title? Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I'm not a librarian because I don't have a library degree.
Okay.
Right? So I'm a library worker.
Library worker.
And I am on the outreach and adult programming team.
Okay, okay. Yes. And how long have you been doing that?
I started in April.
April?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. I'm so glad you're there.
Me too.
So
I love it. Me too.
Yeah. Okay, and so let's just get clarity once and for all. We had a wonderful, lovely garden talk season with Darren Snyder, who is
awesome.
Also from the UAF Cooperative Extension. But just for those who don't know the Cooperative Extension, Sarah, tell me a little bit about what you all do.
You bet. So we, throughout the nation, are associated with land-grant universities, and so that's why the UAF, as in Fairbanks. And we bring research-based and university-based information to the general public, to folks who are not in the university system, focused on skills and knowledge, and it's kind of a two-way street. We find out what people want to be learning about,
mm-hmm.
and we create programs around that, or we kind of see what's going on in a community and we fill gaps in that when we kind of perceive that there might be gaps in different areas. But then we have sort of our standards. I'm the health, home, and family development agent, so I focus on food preservation, food safety, food entrepreneurship, emergency preparedness, health promotion, healthy aging, indoor air quality, lots of stuff. Pretty much everything except for gardening
and
agriculture. Yeah,
I didn't realize that the Cooperative Extension is like a national thing.
It is for more than 100 years. We're closing in on 100 years in Alaska, but throughout the nation, it was actually kind of initiated by Lincoln when they created the land grant concept for universities, and then eventually cooperative extensions were associated with land grant universities.
I love that.
More
That's
than 100
so cool.
years ago, yeah.
And Elizabeth, mm-hmm. The Juno Public Libraries is on every month, which is wonderful. They come on and tell us about all the events that are going on. So I don't think we need to really explain what the library is, but I do think it is interesting that I learned from Aaron that Juno Public Library is something in a different state, so that's why it's called Juno Public Libraries.
Oh,
did you know that?
No.
Now I do.
Now you do. You can ask
yeah,
Aaron about it. It was really interesting to me because I was like, oh, and I can't remember exactly what state the Juno Public Library.
I think it's
Library.
Wisconsin.
It might be Wisconsin, yeah. And because there's a bunch of Juno towns around.
Mm. But we're the best Juno.
Yes. We're the best Juno, yeah. But anyway, that's where Juno Public
yeah.
Libraries comes from. But it's
yes.
the Valley, the Mendenhall, and the Douglas Library all put together, right?
Exactly.
So that's really good. Okay, so how did this like collaboration between you two come about, outreach library worker?
Right. Well, part of my job is to give adult programming inside the library. So to find people to collaborate with, to offer classes and workshops for our patrons that they might be interested in. And then the other part of my job is to take the library out to the people. Mm. And so in talking with this, with Sarah, we were super excited to bring all the work that she does into the space of the library, because it might bring new people into the library who haven't always come to the library, and then they get a chance to walk in the door and maybe come back again. And it also provides a space for Sarah to do all her amazing work.
And it, and for me also, it brings our programming potentially to people who haven't had extension programming before. Mm-hmm. So it actually works kind of similarly for both, in that we are potentially reaching mm-hmm. audiences that we haven't reached before, which is part of our whole goal, is to get to as many people. For me, it's as many people in Southeast as possible. Mm-hmm. And Juneau is being my home base, so it's a good place.
Cooperative Extension and the library really have similar goals in mm-hmm. terms of getting correct and getting information to people and making sure that people have free access to information. And so all of these classes are free. They are in locations that anybody can come into, and they're right by bus stops.
Excellent. And I love every time the library is on every month, I love it, because you realize that, because I think when people think about the library and programming at the library, they think of like story time for youngsters, and they think about that kind of stuff. And also where they can go check out books and CDs and all those good things, movies. You can get all kinds of stuff at your local library. But I also am finding every month when they come on that we learn a lot about things that are for adults, that mm-hmm. there are programs that are for adults, you know, or partnerships that are happening, like the monthly game day with, mm-hmm. you know, the guys from the games, the
Platypus
Gaming. Yeah. And so it's really wonderful that this is happening. Now it's starting tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. So let's talk about, how did you decide which classes you were going to offer at the library? And then let's talk about the specific one that's happening tomorrow.
Sure thing. So basically, we sat down together and looked at the year. Mm-hmm. And that was one thing, and sort of figured out how many programs. And then it was sort of based on things that, from both of us, our knowledge of what people seem to be interested in right now, or what is important to get out there. So the class tomorrow, Selling Homemade Food, is a pretty important one to get out there, because there's been a pretty significant change in the breadth and type of foods that people can make at home and then sell to the general public. So there are some public health issues with that. There are the people who are making the food need to know what the rules are to follow, things like that. And it's very important, because we're also trying to, throughout the state, of course, help with food security and food sovereignty and helping people make food for their communities, whether that is as a business or a homemade food business. So this one's pretty important to get out there. So this one we wanted to do first, just because we wanted to, you know, before we get into the market season.
Yeah, it's happening, right? Yeah. It's happening.
Before
yeah.
we get into the market yeah. season, get people knowledgeable who might be wanting to sell food that they make at home and wanting to sell it through markets, to find out what is allowed and what is not allowed.
Because mm-hmm. I know that there's the Juneau Public Market that happens. There's all those little events at the Jack that happens, the stocking stuffer events, all those different things. So I notice a lot of people selling food, and or they sell, you know, things you can put on your face, you know, creams
well, yeah,
and
sure.
homemade items, soaps, things like that. Mm-hmm. Because, Sarah, there are like rules around, I would imagine there's a lot of rules around food specifically.
Yes, yeah. yes, yes, there are. And what's really interesting about the homemade food rules is they are rules for an unregulated industry.
Mm.
So restaurants are very regulated, et cetera, but this is a very new and unregulated, which sounds weird that there are rules for an unregulated industry, but that's where we're at. And so if people don't know those rules, they could discover that they are not doing what's, and then suddenly they are against the regulations.
So I'm curious, would people like moms of those, you know, people, like let's say the Girl Scout, not the Girl Scouts, they sell cookies, but like all the fundraisers that mm-hmm. happen that I see at like my local supermarket?
Those
like,
are a bit different.
Those are different.
There are exceptions for those within the DEC food code for bake sales and things that are done by schools and things that are just done like
okay.
one time.
Okay.
This is more folks who are wanting to do something regularly or at like a large market.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
As I just want to get clarity on that. As opposed to a bake sale or a fundraiser.
Because
I
always think about that. Like, so if you're listening and you're like, oh my, what if I bought the bake sale? You don't have to worry about it that way so much.
Right. They have a great website or a page on DEC about how to do a good, safe bake sale. And
Okay. Cool. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
So that one is Selling Homemade Foods. It's at the Valley Library tomorrow, Thursday, October 23rd. It starts at 5:30. Do you have to register for these?
We like it if people register.
Okay.
But you can also show up and walk in. At the Valley Library, we'll probably always have plenty of room because we have a capacity for 60 people. When we have our events at the Downtown Library, we only have room for 30. And so those are the ones where you really want to register to be sure you get a seat. But you're also welcome to walk in and we'll squeeze you in if we can.
And is the best place to register juno.org/library?
It is. You can also go to the community calendar on KTOO or the JAC, and you'll find the links there as well.
The links there. Mm-hmm. Okay. And just since we're putting websites out there, the easiest way to find the cooperative extension is to Google the UAF Cooperative Extension Juno.
Yeah.
And then that will bring you to the page
because
it's one of those long URLs that you have. Mm-hmm. So tell me about other classes that will be coming up.
Yeah. Well, in November, we're going to do one called the Prepared Pantry, which I think is something that many of us have been thinking about lately. How do we make sure that we can have the foods that we need, the foods and supplies that we need in our pantry to make it through the winter, but also to help our neighbors and others in the community if we need to. In December, we're doing pickle gifts because it's a good time to give presents, and pickles are a great present. And besides, there's fun stories about pickles. And then in January and February, we're doing two that are focused around bone health and brain health.
Okay.
And March is Marching Towards Menopause, and this is really aimed at women in their 30s and 40s, so before they might be entering into perimenopause. So to talk about the things that they should be thinking about and symptoms that they could be watching out for, and to just, you know, speak with hopefully our panel of women who've been through it on, you know, things that were helpful and not helpful and tips.
I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. And is the full schedule for these classes, this collaboration of classes, somewhere?
It is in the Juno Public Library website.
Okay.
But the easiest way is probably to just pop by one of the libraries and pick up a good old-fashioned paper one. We also have some cool bookmarks.
Okay, bookmarks that will have all of these classes. Because there's so much going on at the library. There's also so much going on at the Cooperative Extension. There's various different classes and everything. But if you want these specific courses, you're going to have a paper, a pamphlet, and then a bookmark kind of thing available.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
That's really cool. And then are there other classes that are coming up from the extension that you want to mention?
Yeah, there are. So I also partner with Juno Community Schools.
Yeah.
And so we've got a Preserving Juno's Bounty series coming up, and that's two weekends. That's this upcoming weekend, Saturday and Sunday, and then the following Saturday and Sunday. So it's four classes total from 1 to 6, and we're going to be at JD, but you do need to register beforehand before coming. And I'm going to be doing food preservation, everything from canning, pickling, fermenting, dehydrating, freezing. I think I've got the main ones there.
So Preserving Juno's Bounty is all about the food that you've grown, things like that.
Yes, or harvest from the wild and how
great.
You preserve it safely. Yeah.
That's good for our garden.
And so it's lots of hands-on,
and
you end up with lots of jars of food and potentially beef jerky and all kinds of fun things.
Do you have to be at all four of the, is it a four-part series?
It is a four-part series.
Okay.
Yeah, you sign up
committing.
For the whole shebang. Yeah,
okay.
You're committing
great.
To two weekends, two evenings for two weekends in a row.
And does that have a charge to it or no?
It does, and I wish I could tell you exactly what that is. That was set by Community Schools. So you can go to the Juno Community Schools website. They have their registration there.
Okay.
And you can find out the cost.
Great, good.
Yeah, but it includes all the food. So
oh, it includes all the
time.
Food?
Yeah, it includes the time and all of the food. So
wow,
yeah,
that's awesome. So that's a pretty intensive class is coming up, Preserving Juno's Bounty.
Yep.
What else is coming up?
I have two programs that I'm pretty excited about. They're happening at the same time, just because of some calendaring stuff. One of the gaps that I discovered in Juno was information about osteoporosis and osteopenia, and when you've been diagnosed with one or the other, what next? And so I, through the Oregon State University, OSU, I actually got trained up on a program called Better Bones and Balance, which is a fitness program. So it's actually an exercise, weight training, resistance training program specifically to focus on the bones and the muscles that to focus on the muscles that can strengthen bones, to focus on exercises that strengthen bones and muscles, or maintain bone density. Mm. Because 50% of men and women, so women starting in their 30s, men starting in their 50s, 50% will start to lose bone mass. And usually don't really know that that's happened until someone says, oh, you're 65 and you need to go get a test. A DEXA test, a scan, and you discover that you've got osteopenia or osteoporosis, or you fall and break something.
That's what happened to me, Sarah. Seriously, no, yeah, I broke my the upper part of my femur They said I broke my hip, but it was really the upper part of my femur. Mm. And they were actually surprised. They were like, we're surprised. I mean, I did land directly on it, but they were surprised. But I am in my fifth. You're just talking to me right now.
Did you get a DEXA scan?
I don't think I did, but I think I have to get one. It baffles me.
That, yeah. Yes. Because you've had a break that seems earlier than it should have happened, you should probably go get a DEXA, which is a bone scan, and they have them at Bartlett.
I'm so glad you were here today.
Yeah,
maybe I need to come to this class.
I'm a proponent of getting a DEXA early as possible. So I have these two programs. One of them is through community schools, which is focusing on the foundation exercises of Better Bones and Balance, but using bands, so using resistance bands. Mm. So the focus is to help someone potentially be comfortable working out at home. Mm-hmm. And learning, we'd spend a month. So the B3 with bands, I call it B3 just to make it easy. B3 with bands is Mondays and Wednesdays for 4 weeks. And we'll hopefully at the end you will have several routines and knowledge about form and how to use the bands, etc. And then the other one that I'm doing is B3 with weights. And I'm doing that at Tongass Fitness, which is a great gym with all of the weights you need and the barbells if we're going to be heading in that direction. But it's designed to help someone feel more comfortable in a gym setting, whether that is in a class or after the month, feeling more comfortable how to adapt exercises that might be in the class of your choosing, how to adapt those to be potentially more helpful with a focus on bones if that's something that you need to do, or just to feel more comfortable in a gym. And sometimes that can be one of the biggest steps is just to learn it, come in and learn how to use the barbells and the hand weights and kettlebells and all that kind of stuff. So I'm doing both of those. B3 with bands is through community schools. So you need to go to their website to check that out and find out the cost on that. The B3 with weights is going to be, I believe, $150, and that's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. for 4 weeks, starting on October 27th.
That's next week.
These are both starting up next Monday.
Okay.
The one at community schools is closing in on full, whereas the one at Tongass Fitness, there's still room in that one. And so for the Tongass Fitness one, for the weight, the B3 with weights, you need to contact me at sarah.lewis@alaska.edu, and I can give you that info.
Okay, great. Excellent. That's wonderful. And then we have the program that's happening tomorrow. Let's recap that one more time, Elizabeth. What's happening tomorrow and where and all that?
Tomorrow at the Valley Library in the large meeting room at 5:30 p.m., we're having our very first community class selling homemade foods. And it's available for a walk-in, or you could go online to our website, our calendar, and register. And that is a 2-hour class, so we'll be out there at the library from 5:30 to 7:30.
And you can look forward to more of these collaborations between the UAF Cooperative Extension, based here in Juneau, and the Juneau Public Libraries. What an awesome program y'all are starting
right.
together.
Thank you.
That's so cool.
Yeah, we're super excited.
Maybe come back in the spring when you have more classes set up, and we'll pitch the next ones that are happening, because it seems really cool. And you can, of course, you can go to juneau.org/library to find out the full calendar of events at the library, and you can also put in your favorite search engine, the UAF Cooperative Extension Juneau, to find out everything going on with the Cooperative Extension. Sarah, Elizabeth, thank you so much for coming in today. Thank you for being here.
Boston.
This is Juneau Afternoon on KTOO. Here's a little bird note.
This is Bird Note. Skateboarder and birder Dave Mull remembers one of the first times his two passions intersected. He was practicing this terrifying trick he called the stump jump. Using this big tree stump,
an ollie over a grass gap onto a stump, and after the stump, there was about a 9-foot drop over a fence. So I had to get like just the right amount of speed, and it was scary to think if I didn't make the first jump onto the stump and if I just fell like face first down. That was like the biggest fear. While I was preparing to try the trick, Stellaris Jays were just going off, flying all around the area. And at one point I thought I heard a red-tailed hawk, and I looked around and was like, I don't see it anywhere. And I looked up on a branch, like high up in a cedar, and it was totally the Stellaris Jay mimicking a red-tailed hawk. These Stellaris Jays were like pretending to be something they were not, kind of tricking the world. So it got me in this mindset that I could be something I was not.
With that newfound confidence, Dave got his running start. And nailed the trick.
From that point on, every time I see Stellaris Jays, I'm reminded of one of the scariest and happiest moments of my skateboard career so far. So, thanks, Stellaris Jays.
For Bird Note, I'm Mark Bramhill.
KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from Tlingit-Ani and the homelands of the Akwan. The specific area where our building sits is the ancestral home of the Clanady, or Dog Salmon people, of the Akwan. We acknowledge those families of the Clanady who made use of this land and waterway for thousands of years and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. Gunnith Cheesh. And that will do it for today's Juneau Afternoon. Local stories, local events, local connection, made possible by you via your donation and membership at ktoo.org. Gunnith Cheesh. Juneau Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juneau 104.3 and KAUK Juneau Auk Bay 91.7. You can find the show online at ktoo.org/JuneauAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, offer feedback or suggestions, or find out how to be a guest on the show. You can also find live stream archives on KTOO's YouTube page. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Programming support for Juneau Afternoon comes from listeners and viewers like you, never more important than now, and Alaska Airlines, Club 49, Hanson Gress, and Heritage Coffee Roasting Company. Juneau Afternoon is a project of the KTOO Arts and Culture team. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Lisa Purvis. Gunnith Cheesh. Have a wonderful Wednesday evening.